Rick, let's begin today with the fact that we're connecting with you from Orlando. That's where you are making a presentation to the Leadership Florida 2014 class.
Yes, so I apologize in advance if we hear lawnmowers and leaf blowers in the background, but Leadership Florida is a great organization. It's the statewide equivalent of LEAP or LEAD programs to familiarize people with the way that government works. I'm here to talk about the state's economy and what makes it tick. So it's an enjoyable thing for me to do, and hopefully it's useful for the students in the class.
Well, you gave us a great segue. Let's talk now about this week's economic outlook from the Florida Legislature's chief economist, Amy Baker.
Amy directs the legislature's Office of Economic and Demographic Research, and Florida has a good thing insofar as legislators and the governors are bound by the revenue estimates that come out of the state's revenue estimating conferences. And these are conferences that typically are chaired by Amy and her staff at the Office of Economic and Demographic Research that do the fiscal forecasts. They include representatives from the governor's office as well, other state agencies, and they come up with the outlook. And so every August, Amy Schopp presents the three-year budget outlook, the long-term budget forecast for the state of Florida. And this year, while we had a bit of a slowdown in January through May that you and I have talked about, that showed up in the state's budget numbers, which came in about $100 million under forecast for the remainder of fiscal year 2013-2014. And now for the new fiscal year, which in Florida, the fiscal year starts July 1st and runs through June 30th, the forecast is that total revenues will be up about a billion dollars for this fiscal year, which is roughly in line with the forecast that EDR had previously generated. So we're getting back on trend after a slow start to calendar year 2014.
All right, let's look locally. Let's talk about this week's signing of a lease agreement between the City of Pensacola and VT Mobile Aerospace Engineering. Of course, this is formerly ST Aerospace, to come to Pensacola International Airport.
This is an exciting opportunity for Pensacola. You know, the demand for commercial jet aircraft over the coming several decades is projected to grow rapidly, and that's demand largely from outside the U.S. and Europe. The fastest growing part of the world, in fact, is Asia. And so the deal with VT, formerly ST Aerospace, ties us in with the maintenance, repair, and overhaul network that will service the thousands of new passenger planes that will come online to serve passengers. You know, as hundreds of millions of people move from poverty into the middle class in India and China and elsewhere, increasingly they're more likely to take a flight on an airline. And so this is a way that Pensacola connects to the rest of the world by having facilities in the rapidly expanding aviation sector. So I think it's a good thing for Pensacola.
And just briefly wanted to note it's going to cost $37 million to create the infrastructure needed, the two hangars and such, and that money is going to come from various sources. But it's going to create at least 300 full-time jobs with an average salary of $41,000, so a worthwhile investment?
Yes, those assets will be in place for a long, long time. The hangars, the taxiways, the associated infrastructure will be there. We hope that it will be VT that will expand above and beyond the 300 jobs that they've contracted to implement and maintain. It's hopeful that they would grow to many more than that. At some point in the discussions, there had been mention of as many as 600 jobs overall. They've committed to 300, but hopefully they'll see enough growth in the demand for their business services that they'll see fit to expand. And just like Navy Federal came to Pensacola and really fell in love with the labor force that's here, it hadn't been intended at the outset that Navy Federal would establish so many jobs in Pensacola, but hopefully the same dynamic will occur with VT, that they'll come, they'll find that there's an affordable, ready-to-work set of workers here with the necessary skills, and this would be a good place for them to expand.
Now, Navy Federal Credit Union is expanding and will possibly be setting up shop temporarily in Santa Rosa County at the Santa Rosa Industrial Park, bringing 300 to 400 jobs there. We'll talk about that in a future segment, but I wanted to talk now about the new Doolittle Institute in Fort Walton Beach.
Well, there's a lot of high-tech knowledge generated, particularly at Eglin. You know, with the test wing that's over there, all of the scientists, that's just a lot of brain power working on important problems. Some of that research has to be commercializable, and so to have Doolittle over there, we used to have the Gulf Coast Alliance for Technology Transfer, GCAT, many years ago. Hopefully Doolittle will fulfill some of those same functions and help get military-generated technologies, hopefully jointly with area universities, get those technologies out to market. It would be great if we could have some research and development activities that spilled over into the private sector and created high-tech, high-wage jobs. And so to me, that's where the Doolittle Institute shows the most promise for the region, is getting intellectual property out there into the community and hopefully commercializing it.
All right. We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.